I'm a burner for bud. I can come on out and flying. She's trying.
Here she goes.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are seeking you this hour. Make your presence felt among all of us, that we may be glad and blessed and filled with joy that we have come into the house of the Lord this hour. Amen. Stand.
Thank you.
and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, I'd like for the boys and girls to come forward, please. So glad to see all of you today. How have you been? Everybody fine? You've had a good summer? And you're just raring to go back to school, aren't you? What? You all ready to go back to school? I remember those days, don't we all? You know what I have here? Look at this. This right here is a magnet. You know how these things work? Look. I wonder if I can get another one on there. Look. Whoops. Let's try this one. What do you think of that? All kinds of things. Sets up a force field, magnetic field, and it holds things to it. We have magnets all over the place. Let's see if this will work. I wonder if we can make it do this. Oh, look, 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 look. What do you think of that? Isn't that neat? There it is. It's just under the bulletin. But it's still working even though we can't see it, right? Now, boys and girls, I want you to know that is exactly how God works too. For God sets up, he created magnetic force fields, or the ability to pull things in different directions. See there? I wonder if we could have a race to see who would win, how many of these things we could collect and move around the top of the bulletin. Wouldn't that be fun? We'd need a bigger magnet to really get it going, wouldn't we? Well, I want you to know that God is always drawing us in God's direction. He says, come on over here. Oh, I almost got it. He says, come on over here and follow me. We've got other things in our magnetic force fields that pull us in other directions, like a favorite video game. Do y'all play those? Do y'all play video games? No? Not addicted yet, huh? Well, you know, video games are very, very addictive. They'll pull us to them. Oh, look, got another one there. See there? Always remember, We have got magnetic force fields that pull us in every direction imaginable all the time. And sometimes we get misdirected and we have trouble hanging on and see it fell off. That was a good idea. We didn't want things to fall off. It got lost, didn't it? It fell. It fell away because it wasn't strong enough. And that is our lesson today. God is always drawing us toward Him. Always. But sometimes things get in the way and we lose track of God's drawing ability. Now we have another name for how God draws us, and it's called love. Love takes us in every direction and supports us and lifts us up. But sometimes unloving things creep in and we follow that and we fall away. Always remember, Jesus says, follow me. Follow my love. Now when we do that, He will show us the way to His home, eternity, heaven, forever and ever. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, O God, for your ability to draw all of us in the direction of yourself. Please help us be sensitive to your drawing, your call. Help us to be sensitive to your love. Amen. And thank you all for coming up. I think I got all my goodies. Let us bow in prayer together. Shall we pray? Thank you, O Lord, for drawing from us the need to pray. Thank you for placing within ourselves the ability to pray. Help us to recognize there are opportunities for prayer on every level of life. So please, Lord, make us sensitive to your call to prayer every moment of every day. Lord, when we think about how magnificent you are and your abilities to draw all people to yourself, we're overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed with thanksgiving. We're overwhelmed with celebrating the joy of our salvation, and we're overwhelmed with the challenges in front of us. For we easily recognize that the world is not filled with your love. And when it is, other things come in and take away the joy that we have when we share love. So we beseech you, O Lord, even as we thank you for your magnificent presence in this world today, we confess that we've been overwhelmed and we've allowed ourselves to be overcome with stimuli other than the love of Jesus. And we confess to you that we've been negligent in our prayer life and beg you, O Lord, please set us right before you, that we may so order our lives that your Spirit can be seen through our efforts. O Lord, there are those who are having a difficult time with relationships, with health of loved ones, difficult time with how things are going in this country and throughout the world, difficult times with challenges that every church faces. Lord, we can easily be overcome. All of us can be whipped and beaten down by the things of negativity in this realm. But we beg you, O Lord, let us lift up the cross of Christ. Lift high the cross, that we can see the risen Lord already has triumphed over everything that can put us down. So let us find joy in the challenges you give us and turn these challenges to opportunities to say, yes, Jesus is Lord. All these things we pray in his name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
So dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come to the church in the wildwood, to the trees where the wildflowers bloom, where the parting hymn will be chanted, we will weep by the side of the tomb. So sweetly you're calling, oh, come to the church in the vale. Spot of my childhood, wing my way to the mansions of light. Oh, come, 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 come. No thought is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the veil.
We continue our worship by giving and receiving of God's tithes and our offerings. Let the ushers come. Thank you. God, for all of your blessings that you extend to us on every moment of every day of our lives. Thank you for the opportunities to earn money and to spend it. We're grateful for this. Now accept a portion of what you've let us earn to use as an offering to further your work here at this church, in this community, and the church's mission throughout the world. Amen. Amen. The scripture lesson for today is found once again in John's Gospel, chapter number 6, this time reading from verse 35, picking up again with verse 41 through 51. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No man can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that everyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. Once again, let us bow in prayer. O Lord, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. How often it is said, especially in context of the church and of Christian people everywhere, what must I do to be saved? We find that question in the Bible. What must I do? And the answer inevitably comes around, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Another place says, believe and confess with your tongue that Jesus is Lord. To be saved, sooner than later, intersects with faith in Jesus Christ. Sooner or later, issues surrounding what Jesus did and what he said and what he had done to him, that enters in our understanding and the reality of our being saved. Throughout our scripture lessons and our sermons for the last several weeks on John chapter 6, we have dealt with Jesus and bread. Let's understand that in that day and in our day, bread is most important. We like to eat bread. How often it is we go to a restaurant and here comes the waiter or waitress with some chips if we're going to eat Mexican and some salsa or some kind of bread with butter, and maybe even cinnamon-tinged butter to go with that bread. It's getting delicious around here, isn't it? But bread is tantamount to a good meal, and I've been guilty of when I'm eating my meal and either saying myself or folks around me saying, could we have some bread to go with this? So bread's important to us. Bread's important in our Lord's day. He fed the 5,000. And the disciples took up in baskets all the crumbs that were left of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. 12 baskets they took up. So what we're talking about is a basic staple of life. Now Jesus gets very mysterious here. And in one sense of the word, duplicitous in the reality that he's talking about two different things at once. They have a double meaning. he talks about and really gets specific. You got to eat my flesh. You got to drink my blood. And you guessed it, that turned a lot of people off. Because the Jews of the day and the people of our day, we don't believe in cannibalism. It is revulsive. But yet, Jesus uses that terminology. He gets our attention, but he moves from another level, talking about flesh and blood, but moves to a level which is beyond that, moves to a level of heavenly language. So what do we do with these two levels of reality? There is a key verse in the passage that I read, and it has to do with no one is saved unless the Father draws them. We cannot save ourselves. We can't work at it. Even though we're good people, even though we give bukoodles of our wealth to God's church or God's mission projects, we can't save ourselves. Works do not get it. The only way that we have salvation in this realm, only way we can say that Jesus is Lord and Savior, is that the Father draws us. The Father pulls us in that direction to the place where we say, yes, Jesus is Lord. I can't do anything else. I couldn't to start with. So why not start with Jesus and let him lead us to giving half our fortune or all of it to God's people? Remember the drawing power of God. That is salvation. And that's Old Testament as well. For in Psalm 3, verse 8, we have a passage that goes like this: salvation belongs to the Lord. In the New Revised Standard, deliverance belongs to the Lord. And how many times do we find great battles being fought by King David and others, other judges, and they've got to get the Lord's blessing, or all of their military science and tactics and all the people in the army goes for naught. It is the Lord's battle. And please let's keep this in mind as we deal with the stuff that our realm places upon us now. How many of us could make a list of items that we are frustrated with? Challenges that we cannot believe are upon us now. Things we're supposed to do, either by the government or family members or whatever. This is what we are supposed to do. Now get at it. I put it another way. How many of us really have been happy when we go to work? Do we feel overwhelmed? Do we feel that in budget crunches, we're doing three other people's jobs as well as our own? Have we not felt that press? Even after we retire, we can identify with people who come out of their works and end up Friday bleary-eyed and can do nothing more but collapse and see if there's a ball game on. Do we not identify there? So the press of work takes a lot of joy. The press of dealing with issues that are beyond our control takes a lot of joy from us. It clouds our vision. It mutes our sensitivities, and we simply wonder, where in the world is God in all of this? If we remember the children's sermon and recognize that there are indeed magnetic force fields that surround every one of us right this minute, all of us, also that we as human beings are composed in our subconsciousness with certain pockets of energy. These are called archetypes, if you want to discuss Jungian psychology. Carl Jung, the Swiss Christian psychiatrist. Jung pointed out that each of us have in our subconsciousness these pockets of energy, which he calls archetypes. I think I've told you before about the young woman whose name is Judy. Was Judy, she's deceased now. And she was a beautiful woman. And she would come in on the arm of one of our young men in our church. This is up in Bristol. The church was in a semicircle. So she would come in, and every male in the audience would watch her just like this until their wives went. And then they would straighten up immediately. Now, I don't know if the women watched her or not, but I was sitting way back and I could see her without turning my head. But I did notice that all the men did that. Now, why is that? Because men and women have archetypes within the, or energy pockets, within the depth of their being, which are excited by stimuli outside of their being, and their senses inform the archetypes, and they are able to respond and do respond with something energetic, you see, so they can watch. Now, it's not just with consciousness. I'll always remember a young woman who was infected, went septic, and she had a stroke with the infection, went to her brain. And she was going to die, and her boyfriend would come and stand beside her in the bed. She was unconscious, in a coma. And whenever her boyfriend would come, her numbers would rise. Her pulse beat would rise. Her blood pressure would rise. And finally, the nurses had to tell him, things get complicated when you come. No, she can't see you, but she senses that you're here. You see, this illustrates what I'm talking about. The magnetic force fields that all of us have affect other people in all kinds of ways. Many times we do not even understand how we affect another person. These are symbols. People are symbols. Music includes symbols. Words are symbols. A symbol like the cross on the altar, that means plenty. A symbol of the cross. You and I are both very much aware of how music affects us. The only thing that I wish we'd changed, Wayne and Trish and Allison, is that I wish everybody had gotten up for one of those foot stompings, Church in the Wildwood. You know what I'm saying? That affects us. We want to get moving with it. Do we not? Say amen.
Amen.
That's one of those old, old, old hymns that touch us deeply. We remember back when we used to sing it. Oh, would we lift off with it. That's because the archetype of music excites and lifts from us. Yes. Now, of course, we've got negative archetypes. We've seen these all over the place. The issue of the Confederate flag. Now, that's an archetype. It causes different things for different people. And people respond. People respond very forcefully. I knew when what happened down in Charleston, and the South Carolina legislature decided they would take that out of exposure, that there would be a pushback. No, we want the flag. So as early as this morning at the stoplight, what did I see? A pickup truck had a great big Tennessee symbol plastered on the door. Passenger door, and in the back of the truck, guess what? The old stars and bars. It took every bit of my Christian compulsion not to say a bad thing about that. And I won't even tell you what it was. So I have to fight with myself because it evokes, the symbol evokes. Well, 150 years ago, it evoked a different thing. And this is how symbols change. My point is that symbols are powerful and they're working all around us all the time. And what Christians must do, if we are trying to follow Jesus, if we are drawn to salvation by God, is learn to discern. That is a key word in practicing Christian faith, discernment. I remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when the question came to St. Paul, look, there's some mighty delicious meat that has been offered to idols. It is so good that we'd like to eat that meat. And since we don't worship the idol, what's the matter with us eating the meat? We can't afford that meat, and we found it, and it's good, and we want to eat it. So St. Paul now has an ethical and a theological question to deal with. It was offered to idols. So Paul says, you know, idols don't mean anything. God created that meat. You go for it. But if by eating meat offered to idols, you cause your brother or sister to fall, then don't eat the meat. Now that is one way of discerning, to test the spirits, to see if they are from God, discerning what we shall do with the archetypes that come flooding into us, both the positive as well as the negative. To discern is something we need to put in our perception, both visual, hearing, feeling, tasting, touching, all of it. Discernment. What is it I am picking up? I'll show you what I mean. Also, we need to remember that God loves us. And God is going to give us evidences that He hasn't forgotten us. Keep that in mind. We're not in this together. We are in it together, but not by ourselves. But we're in the loneliness by ourselves, even though we're lonely together. Sometimes you can be very lonely and be in a crowd. Do you know what I mean? Very lonely and be in a crowd. You're never alone. God is there. Now, this happened just yesterday afternoon. I was visiting some of our shut-ins. And I came up to the bridge. We have some members there. Had some wonderful visits. And Miss Millie Hood was asleep, so I had a prayer and didn't wake her. She needed her rest. But what happened was I was feeling sad because these rest homes, and we put both of my parents there in it and Virginia's mom too, these rest homes, in a sense, are warehouses for humanity where we as a culture put folks waiting for them to pass on. It's a fact. Sometimes our homes we just can't keep folks the way we used to. We four kids would take mom every 3 months. Each kid had her every 3 months, and so the years wrapped around. It's your time to take mom. Yep, bring her on, and so on. After a while, we couldn't even do that. So I was sad watching all these people with different levels of mobility and levels of mentation, and I became sad. So as I was leaving, this is what happened. This is how we need to keep in mind that God's not forgetting us. You have to look. You have to be aware. You have to know that God won't forget, and He will give us things to see. I was coming out, going home, and I passed an intersection, nurses' station, and so on. People were sitting there with different levels of awareness. And there was one soul there, a little old lady. I'm not sure she even knew or cared where she was, but what she was doing, she took her rag doll and she was singing, "Amazing grace, how great the sound that saved a wretch like me." And then she got into it. "I once was lost and now I'm found." She was smiling. She was so happy. I was walking toward her and I smiled at her. She smiled back at me and she didn't miss a beat. "Saved a wretch like me." And I said, "Amen." And walked on past her. And she smiled again. And I said, "Wow. Look at that. Here I am, feeling sorry, feeling sad. But on one level of reality, here is a soul that can still praise God. And she's doing it." And she lifted up a beaten up old preacher and let him smile. And I wonder how many nurses, spirits, she lifts up. And I sure hope she sings as much as she has strength and is led to sing. This is my point. Don't give up on God. Don't ever give up. Because he is drawing you and me toward salvation, toward health, toward wholeness in this world and in the next world. He's showing us how to do that. Don't get down on it. Don't worry about this world. Just simply live because Jesus loves you and God's drawing you to salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, Wayne and Trish, Allison, I want to do something a little differently. You thoroughly appreciated, or were thoroughly appreciated by the church in the Wildwood. Do you think you could crank that up again? Let's stand as we sing. Ready? Here we go.
There's a church in the valley. There's only a church in the valley. Now turn, disappear to my childhood as a little brown.
Here we go, men. Here we are.
Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the Wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the Vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as a little brown church in the Vale.
Thanks. That's all we know. Will you receive the blessing? In peace, in joy, and in thanksgiving, people of God, go forth. Continue to be drawn by God. Continue to open eyes, ears. Open everything we know, including our spirit, to see where God is working, and go and testify that God is in this place. Go in peace.